Well, it's 5:30 and it's that time of the month. Time for Chairman of the Board of Supervisors and District 2 Supervisor Tim Humphrey. We've got our community meeting. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm doing well, Riley. How are you?
All right. All right. So nobody to call today. It's just us.
It's just us today. Yeah, we go over a little information and visit about what's going on in the local area. And if someone wants to chime in, what's that magic number?
Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if someone used it? And that's 888-876-5593. It spells 8888 Raleigh, R-O-L-L-Y-E.
Well, that's easier to remember than a whole bunch of numbers.
Yeah, it is. It is.
good. Yeah, no, it's been pretty busy throughout the county. We've got a lot of things going on. My recent activities is I went to a town hall in Tonto Basin with Walt Blackman, and there was a lot of veterans there, and found out that the Payson and the Tonto Basin VFW's joining, and so that ought to get those guys together and maybe have a little better organization and be able to get some more done, because everybody knows that the more people you can get together, the more things that you can get accomplished. And so I hope that goes good for the veterans. And I toured a compost facility in Apache Junction.
Yeah.
I'm still working on compost, trying to get all the pieces of the puzzle to fit. But with all the fires and then all the floods, it seems like all staff, like the engineers and public works, and they're all having meetings and trying to get these projects done through NRCS to get these creeks safer than they are now.
Yeah.
And so my compost has been put on the back burner. But we have a lot of interest with Capstone. Pinto Valley has reached out, and they want to do a pilot program.
On composting?
With the compost, yeah.
Now, what would they use it for, or what would we use it for?
Yeah, well, you can use it for anything, because once it's mixed and then it starts creating its own heat, and if it's heated like to 155 degrees and it stays that way for over X amount of days, then it's a grade A compost. You know, you can use it on your gardens or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so what the mind is thinking about doing it is they do a lot of reclamation.
Right.
And Capstone is going to abandon some roads that they're not much using anymore.
No.
And I guess they've got some pits and things that they're starting on, and they're putting a program together for the Forest Service to accept the reclamation. And so hopefully we can get things together and get some compost made and get a pilot program with them, and then it'll work for what they want to use it for. And so I even got with the mines and asked them what seed mix they're going to use when they're doing their reclamation work. So
right.
As we're building compost, perhaps maybe we can tailor it a little better for what they're going to be using it for. And so anyway, I tour any facilities that I can to try to learn something to help me put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because up until, you know, recently, when you put kind of a business plan together, wasn't working.
Yep.
You know, and we've got all the components. We have, you know, the sludge, we have the wood chips, we have the paper, we have a place for it to go, mm-hmm. hopefully. So anyway, that's something I'm still working on when we get time in between all of the mitigation for the floods, trying to keep the creek safe.
Yeah, how long do you think that mitigation project will go on until you say, okay, we're comfortable where we are?
With what? With
the
creeks?
With the flood mitigation, and especially what happened last year and where we are and all of that.
Well, as far as the projects that we're working on with NRCS, we have 4 projects going on right now, and they have to be completed in 220 days.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we have a total of 7 projects. And so our part that we're working on will be done in 220 days.
Okay.
And hopefully, as far as the, what's really going to help us is the amount of moisture we get and the amount of growth that we get from vegetation on the burn scars, because that's that's what's not holding back any water or any of the sediment. Anytime water hits the ground, it's all running downhill because there's nothing to hold it back.
Sure, and that could be years.
Yeah, they when all this started, and I was in a lot of meetings with it, they said probably about 5 years is usually a you know, a place that you could look at to see kind of where you would be back to reasonable normal retention.
Right.
And I think too, they're starting to get ready, and there's a lot of talk about redoing 88, the road off the back of Roosevelt Dam that goes all the way down through the chain of lakes.
Right.
And I think a lot of the reasons that that hasn't been reopened is you spend millions and millions of dollars rebuilding a road that could wash out the next winter or spring. So I think that's one of the reasons that it's holding off. But they're starting to talk about it, so maybe they're getting enthusiastic enough or have enough growth, they think, to get that going back out.
Or demand, because that's the other thing, you know, how heavily it's used or how many people want to use it. That can push things either up or back as well.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. It's, yeah, I you're a recreational area, and with that not open all the way through, I've heard a lot of complaints because they can drive down it, but they get so far and they got to turn around and come back, and it's not an all the way through deal. And so they find that really frustrating. And but anyway, then I recently I've held a Tonto Basin meeting. I was at Roosevelt today at 1 o'clock and held a community meeting out there. And I like the rural areas. I'll bet you there was 25 people at the Roosevelt meeting. You know, they're all concerned about their area and what's going on in the area. And those meetings have turned out pretty good. Today we had someone from their water company, from Tierra Water. We had a gentleman from the Monument. We had Jeremy Plain from the Forest Service. Mm-hmm. We had George Glocko from ADOT. Sergeant Don Engler there with his report of what's been going on around the lake in that area. And even animal control. We had Anthony there with animal control. So those meetings have turned out to be, you know, pretty good public meetings. And so there's quite a few show up because we try to take as much information to them as they can. And even I had Brett Klein from the road department there today. So if they have an issue with a road or a bank or something of that nature, he can, you know, they can take him out to look at it. So, like I say, some of those outlying areas, being that you have them regularly, they've grown in interest, not only for the people that want the information, but people want to get information to the public.
Right.
Like ADOT, if they want to, you know, if they're getting ready to do something on 188 or in that area, that's a good place for them to show up and let people know what's going to be going on. And then I attended the Industrial Development Authority meeting the other day. And
what's up with them?
Well, they're just moving forward on some issues. Industrial Development Authority, they're always trying to look for grants and things that help the area. And they work a lot with trying to get people signed up for different grants for, like, the old abandoned gas stations. They had one for Brownsville, for the old gas stations and things. And so they're always trying to work on something to help the area and how to make it a little better. They're kind of an arm for the county, and they're able to do some things that really the supervisors can't.
Right.
You know, like they'll get grants to do small business loans and things like that. If someone wants to start a business, they can help them where really the Board of Supervisors can't, because we can't gift of taxpayers' funds.
Sure.
And so they're always working on something. And then I'm going to hold a Southern Gila County Community pre-fire meeting on March 22nd.
Where?
And that'll be at the Board of Supervisors hearing room.
Uh-huh. What time?
I don't have the time here, but usually it's like 10 to from the people out of town and stuff, give them time to get there. I believe it is 10.
So that's Tuesday morning, a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so hopefully we get some good information on how they are going to change in the future on the way they fight fires. And
wouldn't that be nice?
And maybe, yeah, maybe we can get a little help to not have some runaway fires. That would help a lot. And we, on our Board of Supervisors meeting the other day, we had the City of Globe and their pool restoration on our agenda. And we discussed, they were asking for funds, and at the time, the board didn't feel as if we had enough information from staff. Because there's different pots of money for different things, and we were unable to have the time to be comfortable with what we were able to give them. So we did become a partner with that pool.
Good.
And we came up with $100,000, but we're looking for more money for that project, because we all think it's a great project. It's just, what effect are we going to have on the county if we give them $500,000? And
right.
I guess that was my basic question, and especially now that when you have 600 employees and gas is going up to $4 or $5 a gallon, that can burn up thousands of dollars real fast. So we're trying to look at the big picture and see where we could comfortably, and from which pots we're reaching for to help them with some more money, to be a partner, a better partner with them. I think it's great that the hospital board got together with them, and there's a lot of Freeport, and everybody is just really reaching out to help that, and I've seen the photos of what they're wanting it to be when they're finished, and it's going to be a great project. And I think it'll be real beneficial for the hospital, for rehabilitation, for, our kids to swim in, for the swim teams, for people that just like to hang out at the pool.
Well, yeah, and in a community, a pool is a must, especially a community where most people don't have their own pools. The big holdup was, of course, those who were in favor of the Regional Aquatic Center that never came to fruition. So now everybody is on board with revamping and restoring the Globe Pool, correct?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, we're pretty much all in on that. And then, that's just kind of a hub. And then, City of Globe is thinking sometime like do the creek walks and stuff. And Pinal Creek's right there by Beshbagawa. So, if they create hiking trails both up and down Pinal Creek, that would also be a good start for that. And our ball fields are up there. Maybe we can start having tournaments and things. I remember when I was younger, there was always softball tournaments and things of that nature in the area. And so, once we can get something going, hopefully it can grow into a lot of recreational things for people.
Right, in addition to just the pool.
Right, right. And speaking of recreation, there was some talk going around that the county had pulled out of the Little League field, and we haven't. We backed off there for a little while, but now that there's been a change of president and things, Gila County, since I've been a supervisor, I've always supported the field. I pay for the lights and things, and I also pay an exterminator for the weeds, and got a hold of him this week to work on the gophers, perhaps, maybe, because that can cause some pretty heavy leg injuries if someone falls into a gopher deal. So anyway, we're working on that. We're still a partner with the Little League field, and the new president knows that if they need anything anytime, is all they got to do is get with us and and we're happy to help them.
Who is the new president?
You asked me that. I can't get okay. there from here.
All right.
Yeah, I'm
all right.
sorry.
What's his background?
Don't know that either, because okay. a lot of times I don't ask them their background. If they're the president and it's written on my desk, I just didn't bring that information
with
me.
Oh, that's fine.
Me.
Local resident?
Local resident. Yeah, I believe
okay.
so.
There you go.
Hey, all right. You asked me enough questions, yeah. I got one right.
Yeah, there you are.
good for you. Yeah, no, that works real good. But yeah, they're all local and most of them care an awful lot about, you know, the youth and what their
yeah.
what their future in Little League and stuff is here.
We know. Had a caller about this actually who was complaining that they were asked for social security numbers, and she felt that this was outrageous. You know, one thing to bring a child's birth certificate, but another thing to hand out a social security number. Do you know, is that actually happening?
I hope not. I will check.
I do too. And again, this is again from a caller. It's unverified by us, but
for the players.
Yes, yes. That she wanted to sign up a child and said they demanded a social security number, so she left.
Well, yeah. No, that's not.
Hopefully, it was inaccurate, because you never know. People sometimes will call with things because they have a personal grudge against someone and hope that it'll get traction, so it might not be valid. But if it is valid, it's certainly worth knowing.
I'll bet you there's somebody out there that knows, Raleigh. They just won't call us.
Well, you know, isn't that the truth? What, don't you have a phone?
And you were asking me about the president. If they're
yeah.
listening, or someone knows them that are listening, ask the president to call. Two questions. One, so they can introduce themselves.
Yes.
Because I didn't bring their name with me. And two, maybe answer a question or two about the ball field. But that's someone that I can ask maybe, Raleigh, later to join
sure.
our show
sure.
to catch us up on the Little League field and what, you know, what they're looking at, where they're going, what they expect. That'd be a good person to give some information, because I'm sure there's listeners out there that do care about what's going on with the Little League field and the players.
Well, we could always offer a couple Renaissance Fair tickets to a good caller.
Hey, yeah,
so
that would work.
Yeah,
that would work. There's,
so okay,
some right
Tim's
here.
Tim's got a stack. We gave him of Renaissance tickets, so yeah. That's the big prize.
That's a big prize.
All you have to do is call in with your question, and that's 888-876-5593, and we'll mail them out tomorrow. So 8888 R O L L Y E. If nobody calls now, then I give up. Now I do
you
know people listen to the replay. I do know that because we post it online,
right?
And it does get down. Somebody's downloading it.
Yeah.
It would be better, though. It would be more enjoyable if you join the show. That's right. It's
You're
not not listen radio. It's talk radio.
It's talk radio.
That's
yeah, because
right.
if you listen, nothing happens.
That's exactly right. Yes. And don't hold back thinking you're going to interrupt us.
Yeah.
That will not be accurate. So 888-876-5593.
You're right. Right. Yeah. And also, too, you know, not the Little League, but our inmate crews right now, they are cutting brush around the Little League fields.
Where are we getting the inmates?
This week. From Department of Corrections out there by the fairgrounds.
Okay, so these are actual prisoners, not people who are in the county jail.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so are they fairly minimum security? Do we
yeah.
know any?
Yeah, everything's minimum security out there. They
okay.
they don't bring any hardcores to us.
Okay.
And also too, they have to meet certain criteria to be able to
mm.
get out. And then anyone that from the county that's working with them has to go through a training program
sure.
as well. And, you know, my hat's off to those guys. They really work hard.
Yeah.
Because, Raleigh, you know, one of my pet peeves was the cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And working with those guys, the cemetery is really nice.
That's great.
You go by, look, you can see all the way across it, and
yeah.
and there's not a lot of trees and brush. Those guys have done a great job on that cemetery. It was a big pet peeve of mine, because the people that are buried there deserve the respect, but the living people that have family there
sure.
deserve to drive by and see a well-kept place. And,
right.
And it's an abandoned corporation. So it's nobody's responsibility.
Really?
There was a corporation, and when it got so full and there wasn't any money in it, then they abandoned the corporation. And so it's not a county cemetery, but being that it's part of my district, I felt responsible for it looking the way that it used to.
So now, are we talking the Globe Cemetery?
No. We're talking about the one right here on the corner.
Oh, okay. In Central Heights.
Yeah, the Central Heights Cemetery,
and
yes.
Occasionally, it seems that somebody is being buried there, so it's still active, but there's no corporation running it?
No corporation running it.
How does that work?
You know, I don't really know.
Just go over and dig a hole?
I guess if there's not a marker there, then it's an open space. I do believe that some of the people, like Lamont's and maybe some of those people, may have a map of where, you know, there are people buried. But I don't know for sure.
And
like
I said,
I'm just trying to clean above ground. I have no idea what's going on underground.
I assume there are laws governing how you bury somebody. I mean, you can't just throw them in the hole.
I guess it is a cemetery, and so that's what it's for.
Well, right, but I'm sure there's got to be some health department. Now, the other thing, a part of that cemetery is Serbian, and they come once a year, volunteers, to clean a section of the cemetery.
Yeah, and then there's some elks. You know, yes. Some of it's portioned off for the elks.
And do they take care of their
elkhood? And masons, too. Some of that is masons.
And are they, and each group kind of keeping
kind
their
of takes
own
care
area?
Of their own. Yes, they do. They are responsible for their own little part. So whether they bought that area from the original corporation,
right.
Perhaps, I'm not sure. I could do some
research
on that. It's
longstanding, clearly, because the dates on it, you know,
right.
This is a long time ago. And as I say, the Serbian group makes a big deal of getting volunteers to come here from other places once a year.
Right.
But I'm stunned that you're allowed to abandon a cemetery.
Yeah,
Right. There's got to be some other rules, too. Like, if a developer comes, you can't dig them up for apartments. I mean,
I would imagine that wouldn't happen.
Well,
but I don't know for sure. I don't know the legality of that one.
I sure hope so.
Yeah. Well, I think the advertisement, no one would want to live there in the condos anyway.
I don't know. I can see it now. Grandma's got to go.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that would ever happen. But yeah, and I do know that like the Masons, they hire the Boy Scouts to clean theirs. Which is a good deal for both entities to have that little spot taken care of. But the majority of it, like I said, it's an abandoned corporation. It doesn't belong to anybody.
I guess if you have a loved one and you're dealing with a burial issue, probably Lamont or Miles or whoever would have the information of how to utilize that cemetery.
I would assume funeral directors
would know.
Yeah, I don't know. There you go, caller. If somebody knows anything about how they're organized or ran, feel free to call in, because neither one of us know much. Like I said, I'm taking care of above ground and not sure what's going on underground.
I'm fascinated by that, by the way, the idea that they just leave, and if anybody else wants to get buried there, well, somehow they do.
First come, first serve, maybe, right? Really.
Exactly.
First come, first serve.
No one's waiting in line, that's for sure.
Well,
but,
not on purpose.
Well, that's true. It is Globe, Miami, but there's a story there somewhere, and it's fascinating.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there. I was talking to one individual that there's a lot of World War vets, the Wind Talkers. And there's some of the Wind Talkers, I think, that were buried there. I'm not sure. So I don't remember whom it was, but they know a lot of history about that cemetery. So sometime, if they would like to be on a show and share their information that they briefly shared with me on the history of the Central Heights Cemetery and some of the old sheriffs from the back way long time ago, and some of the wind talkers and things are there. So that would be a good show if someone
yes
would like to call in because they know information about it.
I'd be fascinated. I mean, I'm thunderstruck that you can just walk away,
sure,
and yet people are still somehow in the ground there. Because every now and then you drive by, there's a, you know, there's some type of a
right. Well, apparently there's still spots available.
Yeah, right. But who do you buy them from?
I don't know.
Fascinating.
Okay, if anybody knows, call in.
Yeah.
No. They're not.
If they're not taking Renaissance Fair tickets, it could be that we're talking to ourselves. So do you have any good gossip about
that? Yeah, no kidding. You want to get the phone to blow up?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Who's zooming who? Yeah, right, this is what we need to know. Right. But apparently, I'm looking at past news articles, and apparently in 2018, the Pinal Cemetery, a local treasure with no one to care for it. So this is not, and that's in the Globe and Miami Times. This is not not new, and a cemetery no one claims, yet so many are buried there, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it was a small mortuary, and I guess they're going. So some of these graves go back to the Spanish flu, which is interesting. So no mortuary owns it, and there's never apparently been any maintenance fund set aside, which is interesting because that's mandated by the state when a cemetery is owned by a mortuary, but apparently when it's not, all bets are off. So the law doesn't apply to fraternal or beneficial organizations.
I guess.
So apparently this has been a state of concern here for decades now. And so, like you were saying, I guess the idea of using discretionary contingency funds or bringing in prisoners, that's not new, but it just seems to be something's wrong here. And so they've got, people buried from the 1930s in this, historic figures and army generals, apparently, and, certainly Chief Tokalai, who was chief of scouts for 3 army generals. So, wow.
Yeah,
that's a fascinating story.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of history there.
Yeah, all right. So we have Terry, your assistant, who has decided to take pity on us, and I for one. I for one am great. We have one listener. So so Terry, what do you know about the cemetery?
I'm listening to myself, aren't I? Okay.
Yes. So tell us.
Well, I was calling because several years ago we had someone who was looking to get a burial spot in that cemetery, and I did some research, and they had to go through Lamont Mortuary. So I don't know all the particulars other than if you would like to have a spot in the Central Heights Cemetery, you contact Lamont Mortuary.
All right. That's good to know. So it is. I figured there was a funeral home involved in this somehow. So good deal.
Yes.
Excellent to know, and good to know you're listening. At least that's one.
Well, of course I'm listening.
Well, good. While you're on the phone, do you remember who the new president of the Little League field is?
I do not. I would have called in had I remembered that.
Okay.
I would have called right then.
Okay. But, well, now we both got put on the spot and didn't get it accomplished. But they're
we
welcome.
We did, but your pre-fire meeting is 10 to 12 on the 22nd.
Okay, yeah, I figured it was about 10 o'clock.
Perfect.
That's usually when they start.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling in. You're the first caller that we've had
ever
since I've been doing this.
Yeah, ever.
But at least we know the phone works.
Well, no, you see, I do a nighttime.
The phone works.
No, I do a nighttime show in Chicago for 3 hours a night every night, and my lines are full. So,
wow.
But it isn't on here. All right. So, good deal. At least, yeah, we know the phones work, and now we know that locals can call. So, feel free to call anytime, Terry.
I will. Thank you so much.
Thanks. All right. Good deal.
And I guess on the last topic would be the census.
Yes, redistricting.
And right now, it's difficult, but we're going to have a meeting. The end of this month, it'll be on our agenda to try to get it worked out. There was some mix-up between 37 and 39 precincts.
Yeah.
And so some of the maps and things were created off of 37 districts, and there are 39 districts. So that kind of put everything at a halt until it got figured out for sure what the situation was. And now that it's been settled that there's 39 districts, not 37, then we're going to have to do some reorganizing and relooking at the redistricting maps. And so that's something that was worked on real hard by people that volunteered, and I thank them very much for all their time and trouble. But anyway, some things just kind of get changed, and so we're going to work that out, and then we'll know more about it after the meeting than before. So that's something I will bring up when we get it figured a little better.
Well, great. So that gives us something to talk about next month.
It does.
That's fascinating. Well, we didn't think that would be quick, but it seems like it's a good thing we've got several more months before thing has to be set in stone.
Yeah, before things have to be changed and set in stone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of where that's going. Everybody was wondering. I've had some people call and ask, and that's where it's at. There was some miscommunication on 37 and 39 districts, which makes a big difference.
Sure it does.
And so we're gonna get that worked out, and then we're gonna go forward with it. And really, I think that's about all I have.
All right.
And I'll try to find somebody. The person I'll try to figure out who that was that was talking to me about the history of that cemetery and see if they're willing to spend a little time with us.
Or maybe even Ian Lamont.
That's possible.
Yeah.
He might be willing to phone in sometime and give us some information.
That'd be great. Now, the next meeting is April 11th at 5:30. And since Terry called in, she gets the Renaissance Fair ticket, so you can give them to her.
All right. I'll see her tomorrow. Yeah,
something tells
me. That'll be an easy delivery.
Yeah, right. Something tells me you will. So until next month, we'll replay this Sunday morning on KJAA at 8 a.m. That's 106.1 and 1240 a.m. And we'll put it on the website at kqss.net as soon as I'm getting around to do that. And that could be quick or slow, depending upon me. But once it's up there, it's in perpetuity. So anybody who wants to hear this fest, well, it'll be there, and we'll talk to you next month, Tim.
Rolly, thank you very much.
I
appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share some information with the people, even if they won't share some with us.
Yes, very good. All right, well, on to next month.
KQSS Miami.